Salvation has come to this house. This is an especially important lesson to me today for a couple of reasons. Because it reminds me of my childhood, which is where Zacchaeus and I spent some time together. Not literally, I'm not that old, but we don't talk about Zacchaeus as much in our adult world as we do in previous parts of our life. Verse 9 is what I want to take as our text this morning, where Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and he says, "Today salvation has come to this house." And that's really what we want to do, is acknowledge the purpose of Jesus and salvation coming into your house, into my house, just as Jesus said it did to Zacchaeus' house. Let me spend just a minute or two with you in remembering who Zacchaeus is and what's going on. I guess really probably one of the first places that I remember Zacchaeus from is Vacation Bible School. There's this great song. In my day, it was among the top 10 VBS songs. I mean, you got Booster Booster and you got some other things. But there's this song, and it actually ended up traumatizing me. Because on the Friday night program, my class was singing Zacchaeus was a, y'all remember what it is? Wee little man. A wee little man was he. And I was just singing Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And we got to the end, and everybody else stopped, and I kept going, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he, a wee little man was he, a wee little man. And everybody looked at me, and ever since then, Zacchaeus and I have shared time together. I think about the message there that perhaps I didn't get as closely or as well as I should have, because we need to ask the question, who was he? And in our reading, it was very clear to him. He was a chief tax collector. Now, you need to understand, being a tax collector was pretty much a hated job, because the Jewish tax collectors were collecting for the Roman government, and the Jews weren't very happy about that. So he was a chief tax collector, so he was more of a tax collector than the regular tax collector. And the way that tax collectors often were paid is they would pad the tax rolls, and what they would get over a certain amount is what they would keep for themselves. And so the tax collectors had a really bad reputation of being cheats and thieves among people, especially when they were seen as these Jews that were taking advantage of the Jews for the Roman government. So Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and the next thing the passage tells us that makes you a little suspicious about what's going on in Zacchaeus' life is that he was rich. Now, what did I just tell you about how they made their money? By padding the bill. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, which means he climbed the ranks, and he was rich, which means he had taken a lot from a lot of people, and Zacchaeus is not a favorite among his peers. But there's something that the Bible tells us, that when he heard that Jesus was coming, he sought to see Jesus. Zacchaeus, with all of his problems, had heard about Jesus, he knew something about Jesus, and when he was coming through, he was like everybody else in town. He was running out into the streets and he wanted to see Jesus, but he could not see Jesus because there was a big crowd and he was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. That means he was short. He wasn't very big. So Zacchaeus climbed up in a sycamore tree. Y'all remember this song? This has kind of infected my brain this morning. So Zacchaeus climbs up into the sycamore tree because he wants to see Jesus pass by. There's nothing said that he wants Jesus to see him. Zacchaeus is wanting a good look. When I went to New York after 9/11 to help out in that crisis, I remember one day going downtown because I was working not right at Ground Zero, but you could go in town and you could look over in to see where things were going on. And I remember climbing this scaffolding where I could look over in and see better and look over the heads of everybody else looking in to see what was going on. I remember it real well because a policeman came by and told me, get down from there. You see, when you're standing up or you've climbed up on something to be taller than anybody else, you draw attention to yourself. And so when Jesus was coming by, there's a guy up in a tree. His name is Zacchaeus. And Jesus knows who he is. But the Bible says one other thing about Zacchaeus. And this had failed to stand out in my mind, for the Bible says he was a sinner. You see, back in my Bible school song, I remember him being a wee little man. I remember the sycamore tree. And I guess that was the cute part of the song, because I don't remember that he was known for being a sinner. And so that's the introduction I want to give to Zacchaeus as we begin to look at this. Let's start with the last point. He was a sinner. I don't know what your immediate reaction to him being a sinner is. Perhaps you say, well, we need to get away from him because we don't want to be around those kind of people. Perhaps your idea is that he's a bad person. There's no help for him. You know how they are. And yet, being a sinner is one thing that unites us in the human race, isn't it? So let me ask the question of you, what does sin do? And the Bible is replete with a lot of things that sin does and does to us and causes to happen in our life. And so I want to take a few minutes. Isaiah chapter 59, if you'll turn back over there or at least make a note of it, in the first two verses, the prophet says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, nor that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. What happens is sin and iniquity separates us from God, where God can't hear us anymore. Zacchaeus was a sinner, but people, Zacchaeus was not the only sinner. You see, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. And because of our sin, we've separated ourselves from God. Romans 6 and verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. Because of our sin, we're on a journey to where you and I are going to meet eternal death, separation from everything, if left to ourselves. And the best that we have by ourselves to hope for is a place called hell, because without Jesus, we don't have any hope. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, we're told the soul who sins will die. If we've all sinned, we all have to face spiritual death. Sin demands a Savior. And we're going to have to come back and understand that that's what the story of Zacchaeus is about. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, just as through one man sin entered to the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because of sin. That's talking about the spiritual death that's going to come. James says it this way. He says, when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Left to ourselves, there's not a lot of hope. The human race without Jesus has a dismal future. I often wonder what it was that caused Zacchaeus to go climb in that tree. I know that he knew Jesus was coming, but do you think that maybe he was doing some introspective looking in his life and he knew something was wrong and he wasn't happy with himself? Revelation 21 and verse 8. The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What does sin do? It destroys you. It takes away your hope and your future. Sin sets you on a path for hell. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to talk about hell, but it's a reality. And a lot of people don't like to think that anybody's going to go to hell. But that's what's going to happen if we remain in our sins. That's exactly what's going to happen. But let's get back to our story with Zacchaeus. And let me ask the question, what happened at Zacchaeus' house? You remember the story, Jesus is going down. He looks up in the tree and he sees Zacchaeus up there and he says, come down out of the tree because I'm coming to your house. How do you feel about unexpected company? How do you feel when somebody just says, I'm just going to drop in? Jesus tells Zacchaeus, and he knows he's something special because he's out there in the crowd and the city are looking for him. Jesus says, I'm coming to your house today. And so let's look at what happened. But I want to look at it slightly different. What happens when Jesus comes to our house? Have you ever thought about Jesus coming to your house in a literal way? Because literally, he should, in the Spirit. The first thing he tells Zacchaeus is, today I must, and this translation says, stay at your house. Jesus wants to come to your house to stay. He doesn't want to be a visitor. Jesus wants to come to your house to change your life forever. Jesus wants to come and be a part of your house and be a part of your family. Jesus wants to come and stay at your house, and we need to understand that. He says, come down, I must go to your house today. And the Bible says he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. Sometimes we need to get in a hurry, people. And there's no better thing to get in the world to get in a hurry about than Jesus. And that's exactly what the Bible says. When Jesus said, I want to come to your house, I'm coming to your house and I want to stay at your house, Zacchaeus gets down and he runs and he makes haste and he's in a hurry and he's joyful. Jesus is coming to my house today. He didn't say, I've got to clean the house or I've got to cut the grass or today's not a good day. He said, Jesus is coming to my house today. And I wonder if that's the way we feel. Do we want Jesus in our house, a part of our house, or do we want Jesus to stay? But then the Bible tells us something strange. It's all those other people, not Zacchaeus, not Jesus, but all the other people began to murmur, to complain, to mutter, I think was the passage read just a minute ago, and say, can you believe it? He's going to that sinner's house. What great teacher is this? And they all, the Bible says, complain, saying he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. The Bible says over and over again, this guy's a sinner. When he was introduced to us, he was introduced as a sinner. The people call him a sinner. He knows that he's a sinner. And then there's something that's magnificent that happens in the story. When he's there and when Jesus is in his house and he's ready to change and Jesus wants to change him, he starts off this sinner, this tax collector, this chief tax collector, starts off saying, if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold, which was more than he was required. He's changed. Jesus changes people when he comes to stay in their house. When he becomes a part of our life, Jesus changes us in a way that nobody else can. And that's when Jesus said, today, salvation has come to your house. Today, salvation has come to this house, Zacchaeus' house. But what about your house? Jesus will only come when you invite him in. And he'll not force his way in. But his purpose for coming, the Bible says, is for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his mission. That's his purpose. That's what he wants to do. He's here for a specific reason. And Zacchaeus fits the bill. And so do you. And so do I. Jesus came not because we were good enough, but because we're not. He came because we're sinners and gave his life. That was his purpose, to seek and to save the lost. And so that brings up kind of a final question for me. Do you hear Jesus knocking at the door of your house, your heart? What is it that you know about Jesus knocking at the door? We're a funny people, you know. When I was growing up and the telephone rang, everybody in the house wanted to answer it. He'd run to answer the telephone. Now we all have caller ID to see who we don't want to talk to. Doors have peepholes or security cameras at them where we can see who's at the door. In the day of Jesus, there was no caller ID. There was no peephole, but Jesus knocks on the door of your heart. In Revelation chapter 3, the text says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone hears my voice and has opened the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat on down with my Father on his throne. The picture of Jesus knocking on the door has been replicated, copied, and painted by many people. But in the original picture, if you'll notice, when Jesus is knocking on the door, there is no outside handle on the door. The door to your heart can only be opened from within. You must do it. He will never force himself. And I began to think about another situation, one found over in Acts chapter 16. There's this Philippian. He's the jailer there at the town. And Paul and Silas have been put into his prison. And they are in the middle of the prison. They are in chains in the middle of the prison. And it's about midnight. They are singing and praising God. And God sends an earthquake. And all of the doors in the prison, all of the gates swung open. And all of the chains let go. And the jailer comes running in and he calls for lights where he can see in the prison. And because he was afraid that the prisoners had escaped, and that would mean that he would be put to death for not fulfilling his duty, he pulls out his own sword and is ready to take his own life. And Paul comes out from the middle of the prison and he says, do yourself no harm. We're all here. And so the jailer comes in, and the next things that happen are found starting in verse 31. The jailer asks this question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? First question I want to ask you is your life such that people can look at you and say, you've got salvation? There's something I can see in your life that shows that you love the Lord, that you've given your life to him. The jailer comes in and he washes their stripes. They answered and they said, the first thing you've got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for they that come to Him must believe that He is, that He's a reward of those that diligently seek Him. The next verse says that they began to speak the word of the Lord to them. You see, in order for him to believe, he had to know what to believe. And that's what the word of God's all about. These things, John said, are written that you might believe. And believing might have everlasting life. They said you gotta believe, and here's what you gotta believe, and you gotta believe about Jesus. The Bible says they spoke the word to all that were in the house. They came in and told the beautiful gospel story. And then that same hour of the night, somewhere after midnight, they took them down to the river and they washed their stripes. And while they were down there at the river, the jailer and all of his family immediately were baptized into Christ. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about salvation. It says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The Bible has so many things to say. But let me tell you, if you want Jesus to come into your life, you have to bring him into your heart. That's your house in this story. You have to invite him in, and you have to believe that he is God's Son. Not only that, that he's the divine Son of God who was raised from the dead, and he lives to make intercession for us, and he wants us to serve him. And we have to change. Zacchaeus had to change. He said, I'll restore whatever I've done fourfold over. He wanted Jesus to come into his house. The jailer said, what must I do to be saved? They talked to him about Jesus, and he knows about repentance, and he's washing their stripes. And there's water, and he's ready to be baptized. He and all of his believing household are baptized for the remission of their sins and added to the body of Christ. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And he climbed up in a sycamore tree for Jesus to see. And Jesus said, I'm coming to your house to stay. What about you in your life today? Where is Jesus? Are you just climbing up in the tree just to watch him pass by? Are you ready to let him into your heart and let your life be changed forever? This morning we're going to sing a song to encourage you, to give you an opportunity. If you'd like to be baptized into Christ this morning, to be added to the body of Christ, to have sins washed away, to be put in that right relationship with Him as an act of obedience, of faith, we want to assist you in that. If you've not been faithful and you need to come home, if you need to be restored to your first love, we can do that as a church. We can pray with you and for you. God will forgive you and restore you. This morning, if you need to come, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?